Well, on this beautiful fall morning where the sun is shining, and I don't know, the last I was outside, the wind wasn't screaming anyway. It's strange to think that as we sit here and worship together safely here in our pews, that there's a family in California at this very moment who is probably rummaging through the charred remains of what was once home, and perhaps even mourning the loss of family or friends, neighbors who lost their lives in California wildfires. Strange also to think that even now there are families in Mexico continuing to go through rubble, piles of it, in home and at work, which was toppled by earthquake, picking up the pieces of what once was. And then, of course, there's those people in Puerto Rico. What are they doing at this moment? Are they fighting to find food, a way to get to medical supplies? There is pain all over the world. Earthquakes, hurricanes, these fires, they leave such wreckage behind, but you and I both know that they aren't the only things that leave wreckage behind, that can lay waste to a person's life. We don't need to be living in Houston to know these things. Because in every home, in every life, there is something waiting there to bring us to ruin. And that is sin. Sin will shatter a home just as well as an earthquake. Absence, distance, indifference, where they can create strangers between fathers and sons, daughters, husband and wife. Anger, frustration, resentment, all these things can drive a wedge even between the closest of friends. Physical, emotional, and sexual abuse will destroy the abused and put such a scar on the soul of an abuser. Even though a home may look whole on the outside, it may be ruin on the inside, ready to collapse at even the slightest shudder. We don't need an earthquake to know how easy it is to live in the desolation of sin. And in all these things, and I expect that the people in Puerto Rico and throughout the world with these natural disasters were asking this question of where God is in this. And we might ask that same question in our own hardships as the sin of others and our own sin just crumbles in upon our lives. We might ask that question. Where is God in this? Where is God in the calamity and in the disaster? In our background of the passage from Isaiah, the Israelites are asking this question because they're dealing with their own physical rubble as well as they are their own spiritual ruin. On one hand, they're living in exile. They were conquered by the Babylonian army and they came in and they sacked Jerusalem and destroyed their temple, took away all the physical things that meant the most to them. And then they took the people and moved them away from their home to live in a foreign land. And what we know from their story in Scripture is that both their physical ruin, it came at the hand of their spiritual wreckage. Their sin led them into their exile. They were abusing each other. They were neglecting the needs of the poor among them. They were giving credit to false gods for that which God had blessed them with. They were committing terrible atrocities of temple prostitution and worship. They abused every bit of the relationship they had with their Lord, who had given them everything. And just like them, sin is at the heart of all our troubles as well. Their sin damaged their relationships one to another, but more importantly, it damaged their relationship to God. And even as they hear this word from Isaiah, which is a word of hope and a word of promise, they're asking the question, where is God in all our pain? Has he abandoned us completely? Sin divides us. It hurts us. It causes rifts between us. It sets us on a course away from God. And so because of this, our homes will fall to ruin. But here's the kicker, the hard part to grasp from this Isaiah passage, is that God will allow it. He will permit sin to bring us into despair. He will allow the ruin to become rubble. And in the case of the Israelites, the Lord even exercised the right to cause their conquering, to bring them into exile. It's a scary word. It's scary to think that calamity and tragedy can actually be permitted by God. Even if he didn't cause it himself, but he can permit it. He allows it to happen. And he does so on really account of human sin. And all of this might feel foreign to what you imagine God to be. It might make you even angry that God would do such a thing, but it is what Scripture teaches. Isaiah tells us that both light and darkness, both weal, which is an old word meaning peace or shalom or wholeness, both weal and woe belong to the Lord's toolbox. He might not cause the evil. We know the Lord doesn't cause and make to happen moral evils, but he allows it to use it. And even more so, he will use these things. He will use even the worst of human experiences, whether they're caused by fire or cancer or human sin, any of these things, and he will use them to break apart that most stubborn and solid of all human structures, which is the sinful human heart. He will use whatever is available to him. He will claim it, make it something that can be redeemable, all for the sake of leading you and I into repentance and back into the fold of Christ. So desperate is God to repair, to restore, to strengthen your relationship with him, he will use whatever is there to do so. And so in Isaiah, we have the Lord promising that he's going to rescue this people whom he has brought this calamity upon. And in Isaiah, he's promising to do this in just the most unusual way. He's going to use another foreign king, a king known for idol worshiping, for being a pagan, and he's a foreigner. In Isaiah, he tells us that this king doesn't even know who God is, yet God is going to use him to bring deliverance to the people of Israel. He will be God's anointed to deliver people from their wreckage. God did not forget his people, despite their hardships, which made it feel like he did forget them. The Lord has you on his mind at all times. Whatever trial and tribulation you go through, boy, there's times where it just makes no sense at all. It might cause you to question what's going on, where is the Lord? And there's other times where you know exactly what you're going through because you caused it yourself. You know how you got into your mess. Either way, what you can be confident of is that even if God didn't cause it, he will claim it. He will claim your ruin. He will claim your wreckage, your rubble. And he will use it to draw you to him, to the love of his Son for you, who himself became a ruin, submitted himself to the wreckage and fire of human sin, all for you. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, how we do love you. Be with us in all our trials, whether they are natural disaster or caused by our own human sin. Help us to know that whatever we go through, you can claim it as something you can use and bring goodness out of the ashes. Give us the hope that you gave your people, that in Christ all things can be made new, can be restored, and we can be brought to you in a closer and deeper way. Help us, O Lord, to have faith and hope in you. We pray this in your name. Amen.